Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, beginning in verse 17, Jesus Christ said, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." The words of Jesus Christ in the Bible, the book of Matthew, the 20th chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May the sign of the empty tomb send to the world the message that God's love will never die. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to all in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to you. I'm so glad you are here with us today for this special broadcast of Easter 2008. Easter is the time when we Christians stop to reflect on God's decision to end his earthly days, his human life with death on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later. God's defeat of death once and for all time is signified by the empty tomb. We have the promise of eternal life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today is a day traditionally when many come to know the love of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ living in their hearts and in their souls. This is a joyful time for all of us all over the world, Christian and non-Christian alike, for Jesus Christ defeated death, the very real death of the cross, only 3 days earlier, the very real death that all of us listening today will experience. Today's Bible reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. Beginning in verse 13, the Bible says, "That very day two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?' And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, Luke, the 24th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all and His life shine in our hearts and in our souls. You know, any weekend that begins with Good Friday can't be all bad now, can it? Okay, here's a story to start off today's sermon that I know you'll like. A middle-aged woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. Now, hang with me for a minute. It's only a story. But while on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she asked, "Is my time up?" God says, "No, you have another 43 years, 2 months, and 8 days to live." Well, upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift, a liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. After her last operation, she was released from the hospital, and while crossing the street on her way home, she was hit and killed by an ambulance. Arriving in front of God, she demanded, "I thought you said I had another 40 years. Why didn't you pull me from out of the path of that ambulance?" God replied, "I didn't recognize you." Actually, there is a cosmic joke that God played on the devil. You see, the devil thought on Friday, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and died, and the cross was emptied, the devil, in all of his ego and all of his arrogance, thought he had won. He thought that he'd actually beaten God. But God fooled the devil, and Easter morning, the day we are celebrating today, Jesus Christ was resurrected, and the devil lost. Almost makes you feel sorry for the devil, doesn't it? Almost. Anyway, the joke was on the devil. It turns out in olden times, the churches would, in fact, hold parties on the Monday following Easter. They all got together to laugh and sing and tell jokes and just feel joyful about the way that things had turned out. We thought on Friday that this was like one of those old-timey Tom Mix or Roy Rogers shoot-em-ups, that the hero was in such a fix that surely this time he would meet his fate. He would surely die this time. But we'd come to the movie house the next Saturday morning and see the next serial, and sure enough, the joke would be on the bad guys because our hero would somehow escape. "Wow," we'd say, and eat our popcorn and yell and cheer. The joke's on the devil this time. Christ our Lord is risen today. Jesus Christ is risen. He said he would, and he did it. But there's a catch. There's always a catch. After Jesus Christ died Friday on the cross and was taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb, and the heavy door was rolled in front of the opening of the tomb that held Jesus Christ, no one except his followers will ever see Jesus Christ again. When the two Marys came to the entrance of the tomb that first Easter morning and found that heavy stone rolled away and the tomb empty and Jesus was nowhere to be seen, Jesus began to show himself to his followers. But those of the world at that time and down through to this time that did not believe and do not believe in Jesus as the Christ, did not believe that Jesus Christ was God on earth. No unbeliever ever saw Jesus after the resurrection. And now, even today, no unbeliever can see Jesus Christ. It's a catch-22 almost, isn't it? If you believe, you see. If you don't believe, you can't see. This is why we have the Holy Spirit to guide us in seeing the real Jesus Christ, the one that lives today, the one that lived and died on Good Friday for you and for me, and the one that rose from the dead, was resurrected that Easter morning, that first Easter morning. Well, what are we to do when we see Jesus? I'll tell you what we are to do. We are to follow his three core commandments that he has given to us. Love your enemies, love one another, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do these things if you see Jesus. For if you see Jesus, you are one of his flock. In the Old Testament, from the book of Amos, Amos writes in chapter 5, verse 24, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This is what we have to do. Let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. From the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 54 to chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, "When the council members heard Stephen's speech, they were angry and furious. But Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked toward heaven, where he saw our glorious God and Jesus standing at his right side. Then Stephen said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right side of God.' The council members shouted and covered their ears. At once they all attacked Stephen and dragged him out of the city. They started throwing stones at him. The men who had brought charges against him put their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. As Stephen was being stoned to death, he called out, 'Lord Jesus, please welcome me.' He knelt down and shouted, 'Lord, don't blame them for what they have done.' Then he died. Saul approved the stoning of Stephen. Some faithful followers of the Lord buried Stephen and mourned very much for him." Now, this is the first time that we hear of Saul, S-A-U-L. Saul later becomes Paul, P-A-U-L, the writer of much of the New Testament of the Bible. If we take the first letter of the name Saul, S, and replace it with P, Paul, then what we have is that Saul, the sinner, becomes Paul, the praiser. That's us. Before we can see Jesus, we are sinners. And after we see Jesus, then we become praisers. We begin to praise Jesus Christ. And the ultimate praise of all is for the resurrection. We are like Paul. We are like Saul, like Paul. We begin when we follow Jesus Christ to take on a new person, and our names are now written in heaven. Saul's name was never, never written in heaven. Paul's name, however, is written in heaven. My name, before I became a follower of the risen Jesus Christ, is not written in heaven, but my name is there now. We must take on a new being, one that is going on to perfection to be ready to meet God by following Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ that rose that Easter Sunday morning over 2,000 years ago, the Jesus Christ that left that tomb early that morning, left the empty tomb to begin his ministry to you and to me that goes on today and will go on far into the future. Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 4, verse 24, "It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead our Jesus, our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." That is, now, if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then God has justified us. This has made us worthy of being in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ. If we are justified, we can then have eternal life. Until we are justified by God, we will die, and the cross will not have been empty for us, and the tomb will not have been empty for us. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross will happen to us, and we will be in the tomb, and the tomb will never be empty of death. That is our death. In our Bible reading for today, Jesus Christ appeared to two believers. See, Jesus Christ appears only to the believers after his resurrection. He appears to us because the tomb is empty, because the death on the cross and the victory of the devil of sin and corruption and greed and war and hate can never be the final victory. It will never be the final victory. Man's victories pale compared to the victories of God and Jesus Christ and the victory of the empty tomb. In John chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible tells us that several times after the tomb had been empty, Jesus Christ appears to the believers. John tells us of one specific time. "After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias," John writes, "and he revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will go with you.' They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John, therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. That's from John, the 21st chapter. Now the disciples had gone about their business after Jesus had died on the cross. They were in hiding, but they slowly began to go about their business, and the cross has been emptied of his lifeless body after that. And even after his miraculous resurrection, they still went back to business as usual. They were fishermen when Jesus had called them those 3 years before when he began his ministry. And so it's only natural that they would go back to doing what they had done before Jesus asked them to follow him. And they'd made that commitment to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is so instructive to us here today in the 21st century America and all across the world today, isn't it? We've begun to follow Jesus, and we've heard all about his miracles and his love, and we've experienced with our souls and seen with our hearts the work of God on earth. And yet, when the slightest thing happens to make us think that Jesus Christ might not really be alive, might have just been a figment of our imagination, and that we may have believed wrongly that Jesus Christ is not really the Messiah, the one of God, the one from God, when we begin to have doubts and second thoughts, then what do we do? We go back to our old lives, to doing business as usual, to fishing as those disciples did. We will begin to cut off others in the freeway and outsmart others in the workplace and cheat on our spouses and give less and less time to our children and begin again to be that sinner that just caught fish for a living and didn't hear the inner callings of God, our Creator. The Creator of the universe is He. In human form, as Jesus Christ asks us in a low and appealing voice, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." No, we go back even when we've gone forward, even when we've taken that step down the beach toward eternal life with God in heaven. We go back to being simple but sinful people who trust no one but our own strength to catch the fish, as these men did. And that they couldn't even catch fish now, that even though they had fished all their lives and their fathers before them, they couldn't even fill their nets for a simple morning breakfast on the beach. That's you and me. We can't even make ends meet without Jesus Christ in our lives. Oh, we may have big cars and nice fancy homes and important titles behind our names, but our nets are not full, and we know it. And this is even after we have known Jesus and accepted Jesus and followed Jesus. We see Jesus, but we still don't believe he is who he is. He is the empty tomb for us. Because if his tomb is empty, our lives are full. I'll repeat that. If his tomb is empty, our lives are full. And if there is a tomb somewhere on earth hidden all these 2,000 years from you and from me and from billions of followers of Christ, And our world is empty, empty of love and empty of peace and empty of joy and empty of the goodness and the trust in God. If the tomb is empty, we are full. If the tomb is still full with the body of the dead Jesus Christ, even if we don't know about it, if that tomb still has the body of Jesus Christ, then we are empty, all of us. No amount of education and no amount of systems of philosophy and no amount of laws can ever make up for the force of the love of God in our lives. No amount of snake oil will make up for the loss of Jesus Christ in our lives. If you reject Jesus Christ and the love of the Holy Spirit and God, the Creator of all things, then you are filling the tomb with the body of Jesus. It's as though he never was resurrected. It's as if these two travelers on the road to Emmaus never saw Jesus Christ and heard from him the prophets that led to his divinity. It's as if those fishers of men and fishers of fish had never left the comfort of their boats to venture out into the deep waters of living a radical life for the love of God on earth. It takes courage to follow Jesus Christ, to see Jesus Christ, to hear the call of Jesus Christ, to drop your nets or whatever you do as a living and follow Jesus Christ, to remain during bad times and good times a follower of Jesus Christ, a fisher of men, even when sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ's voice cannot be heard over the sound and the fury of the storm that is in your life, and you believe that the tomb is still with his body. The tomb is empty, and your fears are quietened. But fear not, because we will all be resurrected from the dead, those of us that follow Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." That's from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. But we know without a doubt, because of our faith, that the tomb is empty, that Jesus Christ is risen, and that our faith indeed is not futile. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a government, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light, and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and the clarity of soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another, and love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're still a part of the sinful world, you can change that on this Easter morning. You can have God help you hear the words of Jesus Christ and help you see the risen body of Jesus Christ. You can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, and it cannot be as bad as mine, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now in the twinkling of an eye. If you're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, back to borrowing from the church house doors, those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth, if your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, ask for forgiveness now. Pray with me a little Easter prayer this morning. Pray with me. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but this little Easter prayer will give you the gift of eternal life. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. I want to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting in wars go home safely. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is the traditional Easter song from an old Latin hymn from the 14th century and translated into the Lyra Davidica in 1708. Here is the London Philharmonic Choir and the National Philharmonic Orchestra, and Jesus Christ Has Risen Today. On the road to Emmaus after the resurrection, two travelers were walking with Jesus, whom they did not recognize. In Luke 24:29, the Bible says, "So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them." The empty tomb is our opportunity from God to fill our lives with the holy love of Jesus Christ, who lives within us. To fill our lives, we must keep the three core commandments from Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies, and love one another. Keep these, and the tomb will always be empty. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ love. In his name I pray. Amen. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church. And be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.JesusChristSaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.